The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Warning, this podcast contains all the words you can't say on television except cocksucker.
Today's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by the new all-natural cure for resurrectile dysfunction, Holy Cialis. Do you have a savior who just can't rise like he used to? Is your deity suffering from omnipotence? Then try Holy Cialis, because we could even make the flying spaghetti monster al dente. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
And if God does not bring fiery judgment on America, then he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Hi, this is Chad. When I was asked if my online handle of Dr. Professor Atheist meant that I actually had a doctorate, I of course told people yes. It's every bit as valid as that of Dr. Ken Ham. And oh yeah, we did in fact evolve from filthy monkey men.
It's Thursday.
It's March 13th.
And we're on the cusp of hot coffee and iced coffee season.
I'm No Illusions.
I'm Heath Enright, and from spontaneously explosive New York, New York.
And extraneously erosive Podunk, Georgia, this is The Scathing Atheist.
On this week's episode, a Kenyan pastor will half-ass the nudist church thing.
We'll step right up, and learn all about the most unbelievable, inconceivable, incredible, inedible, stupendous, and tremendous tonic this side of the Mississippi River.
And Mark Nebo from Be Secular will show us the difference between a beard ride and a mustache ride.
But first, the diatribe. The thing about the Lord, he works in mysterious ways. It's the first apologetic most of us ever heard. It's the one they needed when you were 7 years old and critically examining Noah's Ark or Adam and Eve's brood of sibling fuckers. It was the one they trotted out when you asked what kind of dick God would kill your turtle. Or your grandma. God has a plan, and it's mysterious, and we petty humans with our mortal intellects can never begin to comprehend it. And this was also probably the first apologetic you ever debunked, too. You know, if you were anything like me, you did so as soon as it occurred to you that that sentence couldn't be used to justify and or excuse everything. There's no logical inconsistency too great, no direct contradiction too big, no genocide too horrible to refute with it. While we live on his planet, we live by his rules, and we don't know what those rules are, because he's mysterious. You know, but there's more wrong with this statement than just its circular nature. For the longest time, I just, you know, I wrote it off as like a meaningless, useless turn of phrase. It was a rhetorical tinfoil hat that represented the closest a believer was allowed to get to conceding in a religious discussion. But it came up the other day, and I started giving it another look, and it turns out that it was even stupider than I thought it was. Okay, so normally you hear this, you know, when something horrible's happened, right? Bus full of kindergartners explodes, or an earthquake hits one of those flies-on-your-face countries, and a bunch of people die. And then religious folks have this sudden pang of cognition, and they say, wait a minute, a loving God wouldn't do this. Either there's no God, or there is, and he's an asshole. But then they remember that the Lord works in mysterious ways, and they're too feeble to understand him. This allows them to shut off the part of their brain that does the thinking, and it works so fast that their brains shut down before they realize that no amount of intelligence and or wisdom would make an act stop being evil. Hannibal Lecter was a fucking genius. I don't have to understand his ways to know that eating census takers with fava beans is evil. I don't have to understand why Hitler killed Jews to know that it's evil. Sure, Hitler works in mysterious ways, but that doesn't excuse anything that he fucking did. When people excuse God's ruthless savagery by appealing to his mysteriousness, I want to ask them, exactly how much smarter
would I have to get before it would be moral for me to give you cancer? To invent cancer and then give it to you. Think about it. They're saying that at a certain line of superior wisdom, suddenly every horrible atrocity ever committed in the history of humankind becomes okay. God let it happen, and who am I to question his great wisdom? So logically speaking, there has to be like a wisdom cutoff. And yet still there's more wrong with this absurd excuse, because when it comes down to it, God doesn't work in mysterious ways. Reprehensible, sure. Merciless, certainly. But mysterious? If God worked in mysterious ways, I might believe he existed. You know, sometimes when I open my back door, it led to the Himalayas, I'd say, well, shit, there's God, you know, working in his mysterious ways. But it always leads to the backyard. Scientists and statisticians don't have to work in a variable to account for the mysteriousness factor. As it turns out, God behaves in an absolutely predictable manner. He works in the way that is precisely consistent with not existing. Nothing mysterious about that at all.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight is still misunderstood Heath Enright. Heath, are you ready to re-clear the air?
I don't know how many times I've got to explain this sarcasm thing. It's pretty simple.
I think they know you're being sarcastic and still somehow think that you're sexist and or racist.
Okay, well, that's impossible. Plus, some of my closest N-words are female N-words. So, you know, think about it.
Yeah, that'll clear up the end.
With an A! Sure. N-words with an A. Everybody knew I was clearly saying.
Anyway, in our lead story tonight, Oklahoma doctor slash Ohio felon John Michael Lonergan has developed a magical Jesus-based lifelong cure for all ailments and would be happy to squirt some into your body for $300. Known alternately as Dr. Lonergan, Dr. Mike, and that felonious snake oil salesman in Edmond, this quack claims to have co-created the magic potion while serving as a special forces doctor and calls it, I shit you not, Jesus juice.
I paid way more than $300 for the type of thing you described there.
Now, I think it is worth noting that Lonergan had his medical license revoked by the state of Ohio in 2005 after he was convicted of, among other things, health care fraud. But it would seem that one of the things Oklahoma is okay with is allowing convicted felons straight out of prison to provide fraudulent medical treatments to its citizenry.
Oklahoma is to legitimate medical license as Phoenix degree is to PhD. So... And moving on to just 15% of the bill, just for a second, just to see how it feels news. Tennessee pastor Chad Roberts has launched a website called SundaysAreTheWorst.com, where he aims to help address the problem of Christians being bad tippers.
Okay.
The site gives angry waitstaff a place to vent about awful patrons, and Pastor Roberts hopes to have parishioners make apologies for each and every complaint. However, rather than also send an appropriate tip, they plan to instead reimburse with food stamps because restaurant workers are all drug addicts, which is true.
Well, then why not reimburse them with rock?
That's what I said. Unbelievable. Somehow it's politically incorrect to point out the following self-evident truth, but that's what I'm here for, so here it is. Unless every demographic group is equally pleasant and generous at restaurants, then certain groups are worse. Ask every single restaurant employee ever, and you could find out which groups. And their derogatory euphemism code name, if you want. Christians, a.k.a. cross trainers, will not fare well on this test. And the little pamphlet tips just make it worse. Nobody wants
right. Them. Yeah, because you can't trade chick tracks for rock. Believe me, I've tried. How many nights up there going, man, come on, I've got four of the only hopes in a Satan comes to Salem. Just give me a crumb. Let me lick your pockets for a Holy Joe, man. It's my last Holy Joe.
So, a Cornell study from 2010 tried to claim that a false perception exists here, but then quickly contradicted itself. Quote, while it is statistically false to say that Christians are bad tippers, it is true that Christians are more likely to stiff their servers than people of other religious or non-religious bents. End quote.
What?
Yeah, being more likely to stiff your server means bad tipper. What do they think we're talking about?
I had to look it up, and they try to explain it away by saying... I swear this is what they actually say in the published fucking version of this study. Christians aren't abnormally bad tippers. It's just that Jews and atheists are abnormally good tippers. The fuck is the difference?
All right, so quick public food service announcement for everybody. Please listen. Please tell your shitty tipping friends. Restaurants are legally allowed to pay waiters and waitresses less than minimum wage based on the assumption that they receive 15 to 20% tips on sales. These servers also have to pay out from their tips a percentage of their sales to busboys, food runners, etc., based on this same 15 to 20% assumption. If you tip less than that, your presence at the table can actually cost the server money.
Right.
Not to mention the tips lost had there not been six cheap bastards in their real estate for 2 hours. So tip better.
I'm Lucinda Lusions, and I approve this message.
And from the Turning Off the Bigot Spigot file tonight, the Kentucky Baptist Convention has cut off funds to a group called Sunrise Children's Services after the group's controversial pseudo-embrace of tolerance and human equality. Sunrise Children's Services is the largest private child care agency in Kentucky and stands to lose over $7.5 million annually because of God's seething hatred for the gays.
So they're diverting funds from a child care service that isn't anti-gay enough? That's what's happening?
Yeah.
Based on reading several headlines a week over the last year on the subject, the church's child care policies don't seem to be anti-gay at all. In fact, the diverted funds will likely help pay for lawsuits confirming my suspicions.
So. Right. The important thing to keep in mind here, though, is that this group did not start hiring gay people. They just considered it briefly. And then immediately rejected it. And then they forced the guy who brought it up to resign in disgrace. But that wasn't good enough because the Kentucky Baptist Convention still withholds the funds.
Unbelievable. And moving on to Meet Joe Blackface news. Kentucky pastor Joe Pickens performed what would have been a terrible impression of Mr. T as Clubber Lang from Rocky III if it weren't for the blackface.
How the hell can anybody at this point not know that blackface is offensive? That would be like not knowing that dinosaurs preceded mankind or that trees can't be older than the planet that they're... Never mind.
So apparently they decided to dress up as professional athletes for crowd appeal or whatever. But when someone suggested the New York basketball team as the theme, nobody made sure Pastor Pickens knew that it's pronounced knicker and they're not boxers. I said we all dress up as knickerbockers. Knickerbockers. Jesus, Joe.
Oh, God.
All right, whatever. You go out there and do the Clubber Lang thing. We'll skip the Knicks. What are you thinking, though?
And if I'm not mistaken, blackface is like double racist if you wear it when you're not fucking Whoopi Goldberg. So there's also that.
Well done. It's a Ted dancing at the roast joke. I love it.
Thank you.
No blackface is a social norm at this point. Everybody pay attention. So I'm thinking maybe we can give them some classier racist skit ideas for next year here on the Scathing Atheist. So 30 seconds on the clock. Bigoted sports teams and athletes, go.
Okay, Washington Redskins.
Good start. It's definitely a good thing it's not the Cleveland Brownskins. That's all I'm saying. But what I meant is like, you know, Pittsburgh Ass Pirates, or Montreal Canadiens, something offensive.
How about the Towelheadmonton Oilers?
Phoenix Suns of the Confederacy. And really, anything in Arizona works, doesn't it? So.
Yeah, right. I was actually going to go with the Diamond Wetbacks, so proving your point there.
All right. Anaheim Mighty Duck Dynasty.
They play right across the way from the Los Angeles Angels of... Ku Klux Klanaheim.
Double points. Well done.
Thanks.
All right, what about some athletes? Dwayne Wade's, but has trouble swimming. So it's a character for their skit.
Does he still play for the Miami Heebs, Dwayne?
What about Kevin Durant Jemima? Another character for them?
Oh, all right, so I have a technical question. Do gays count as an oppressed minority? I mean, you know, even if it's based on a sincerely held religious belief, it varies geographically. But if it does count, I'm going to go with the Brown Bay Packers.
Ah, well done, sir. Well done, sir. Okay.
Thank you.
What about Tar Babe Ruth? Jungle Fever Pitch, Curse of the Tar Babe documentary.
Manchester Confederated.
All right, we got white people in blackface. A.K.A. Going Richie Incognito.
Nice, nice. And well, we're down in Florida. How about the eugenics?
All right. How about Speaking of Florida, hanging Chad Ochocinco. Move on quickly. Segue.
Finally, tonight in Heath definitely wasn't just suggesting hanging a black guy news.
Whoa, no. Just to clarify one more time, I was talking about the appalling disenfranchisement of black voters in the American South throughout our history.
Of course, that was my point. So in changing the subject quickly news, Kenyan pastor Reverend Njohi explains that Jesus is yet another of the many things that can't come until you take off your panties. After a recent meeting of the church's elders, the good pervert passed an edict banning women from attending services at his church if they were wearing a bra or panties.
The fact that it's only the women is a little suspicious.
Right.
Something smells Jesus fishy. If they're hanging pinky, I'm hanging brain. Just fair. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Njohi defended his decision by explaining that people attending the church need to be free in body and spirit to receive Christ. Okay. When it was pointed out to him that that's just a string of words that lack any meaning or explanatory power, he added that Jesus loves the pussy.
Yeah, he does.
No word yet on how panties affect intravenous injections of Jesus. We'll have to get back to you on that one.
Now, do you think the women are allowed to wear gags, muzzles, that kind of thing? Like, where? Let me make the rules exactly.
I guess we should close out the headlines before the inevitable strap-on questions arise.
Ah, too late.
Right. Well, Heath, thanks as always for joining me.
With sayonara, bitches.
And when we come back, Mark Nebo will join us for a little secular innuendo. I had two biblical poems to knock out this time around, so let me get right to it, starting with the Book of Ezra in rhyme. Yet another book of the Bible devoted to making it hard for a biblical poet. They've built this damn temple three times before, complete with the altars and censers and golden decor. Then they stripped it and shipped it to Babylonian rulers, where the bankers and smithies and merchants and jewelers bought it all so the kingdom was able to get more soldiers to take even more of their shit. Their temple was ruined, and a few were desirous to rebuild it, so they went to see the noble King Cyrus. He granted them audience, and to their amazement, when provoked, he revoked their terms of enslavement. So with a word from the sovereign, the exile was finished, their wealth and their health and their passion diminished, but they went back to Judah with singers and priests and anointed the ruins with bloodthirsty feasts. Then they gathered up mortar and lumber and bricks, but unfortunately Judah is surrounded by dicks. For example, Rehum looked on Jews with disdain, so he started a vicious letter-writing campaign. He spread rumors and lies, and he showed them no mercy. He slowed down so many Jews you'd think he governed New Jersey. And just when their situation seemed most precarious, they got a reprieve from another king, Darius. So the temple was finished, rebuilt to its glory, and if this wasn't the Bible, that'd be the end of the story. Ezra reclaimed the most holy of places, but you can't be a biblical hero if you're not also a racist. So when he heard that some exiles took foreigner wives, he laments and repents and threatens their lives. And since God's such a bigot, they do what's humane and sent their wives and their children away in the rain. And for the Book of Nehemiah, I offer something a little more of the short and sweet variety. Nehemiah sat on a wall after Jerusalem had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men helped him put it together again. Joining me tonight is the co-founder of BeSecular.org, the guy who probably would have won the Fantasy Football League of Sinister Secularist if Cecil wasn't a cheater, and the proud owner of the most epic beard in all of secularism, Mark Nebo. Mark, welcome to The Scathing Atheist.
Oh, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
All right, so first things first, just want to get you on the record on this one. Cecil from Cognitive Dissonance is a filthy cheater. Would you say that that statement is true or factual?
I would say that that is very true.
All right, excellent, excellent. But of course, I didn't ask you on to talk about fantasy football. The main reason I asked you on tonight is to talk about the thing that you're most well-known for in the secular community. A couple years back, you started what I would consider a real game changer. You started an incredible beard.
Oh, yes. I about 5 years ago, I started wearing my beard, but I started growing it out without trimming it about 14 or 15 months ago.
Oh, right. I got to say, I'm not a beard guy because I have a full head of hair, but if I was a beard guy, I would worship at the altar of your chin.
Oh, man, thanks. That's a good compliment.
Your beard belongs in Marticia Adams' closet wearing shades and a bra. That thing is a bandolier away from co-pilot in the Millennium Falcon. Awesome beard, sir.
Thank you very much.
Now, in addition to your beard, you're also well known for an organization that you co-founded a couple years ago called BeSecular.org. So for the folks who are hearing that name for the first time, tell us, what is BeSecular all about?
Well, we do own BeSecular.org, but it redirects to BeSecular.com.
Gotcha.
And the reason that we make sure that we make that distinction is because we are a for-profit company. We're not a non-profit. What BeSecular is a company that is in the business of helping nonprofits make money for themselves. That's our first leg. And the second leg of it is helping start and facilitate conversations between atheists and secular humanists and the most progressive of the faith leaders in the country.
Right on, right on. Now, I should also mention for our listeners that those are dogs barking in the background. That is not
yes.
Mark's beard.
Yeah. We started out basically with the idea of kind of trying to harness the mania, for lack of a better word, behind the Live Strong bracelets that came out with Lance Armstrong before we found out that he was a cheater like Cognitive Dissonance. And it turned out that not only was a lot of people be interested in raising money for themselves, imagine that, they want to raise money without having to spend money, but people just like the message of just plainly be secular, because it includes, you know, agnostics, atheists, even progressive religious people that believe in the separation of church and state. So it just kind of took off.
All right, excellent. Now, when I was looking at your website, the two main, like, core values that are stated over and over again are universal human equality and separation of church and state.
That's right.
Would you say it's fair to say those are, like, the two main pillars of your organization here?
Yes, absolutely. Basically, any group that supports the absolute separation of church and state in America and the world, frankly, the absolute equal human rights, including LGBT equality, marriage equality, women's reproductive rights, et cetera. Those things, if they support those, as you said, pillars, then they're people we can work with.
All right. So now, you know, I'm going to say I really support what you guys are doing there, especially the bridge building you're doing between the atheistic and theistic community. But I can imagine that some of our listeners are sitting there thinking about how sometimes when shit got bad enough, you know, the X-Men would set aside their past differences and team up with Magneto to fight some new supervillain. And in hindsight, that rarely turns out to have been a good idea. So do you get people that say that, you know, that your organization is in a sense sleeping with the enemy? And if so, how do you respond to those accusations?
Yeah, we do. We do get that. We get the more, I guess, firebrand, to use Silverman's term, atheists that say any time we're working with a theist group, we are allowing them to provide cover for the more right-wing religious groups that, you know, the Catholic Church with the child abuse and all that. But what we've come to find out is the further we've gone into this, the very progressive Christian leaders of the country, they fight as hard as we do against that kind of stuff because it just makes them look bad, you know? For example, one of our biggest partners is Mark Sandlin from thegodarticle.com, who actually has had a couple of his blog posts posted on the Richard Dawkins Foundation, so that'll tell you how, you know, far to the liberal side he is. He has started an organization called Until All Can Wed, which is a petition to get Christian ministers to sign up and say they won't do any wedding ceremonies of any sort until gay marriage is legal in their state.
Excellent, excellent. Well, it's definitely good to have more vehicles for people to get, you know, to see that message. You know, Mark Sandlin, I'm not going to say he's my kind of Christian because, you know, Jerry DeWitt's my kind of Christian, an ex-Christian.
Right.
But if all the Christians out there were like Mark Sandlin, I would not, you know, I'd be doing a podcast about hockey or zombies or something. So, you know, definitely good that his message is getting out there and that you're helping to facilitate that. And now, as me as the purchaser, if I'm going to be secular to buy one of the lovely T-shirts, tank tops, or wristbands that you have there, I get to choose where that money's going, or?
Yeah, if you go to American Atheist page, for example, it defaults to the group whose link you went to, but you can select any group that you want.
Okay, excellent. So for our more firebrand listeners, important to know that you can help support Be Secular and their mission without directly giving money to any religious groups. So,
like, if you wanted to, you could just pick American Atheists, and then none of the money goes to anybody except them and us.
Gotcha.
So it's not like it's split up, so they don't have to worry about supporting someone that they don't think they're supporting.
Right. Now, I was looking at your list of affiliate organizations, and perhaps I missed something, but it looked to me like virtually all of them, or all of them, were free-thinking groups or secular groups or atheist groups. Do you have any religious groups that you're raising money for presently?
We did, but they decided to back out. I don't whatever their reasons were for that, they decided that they don't want to work with us anymore. We haven't got Mark Sandlin's organization on yet, but that's just because it hasn't come up between us. He would obviously be someone we would support, but no, you're right. Currently, we don't have any religious groups on our affiliate page.
Okay, now obviously, you know, that's, I'm not trying to fault the religious groups for that. The causes that your group champions are virtually universal in the secular community and occasional to rare in the theistic community. So it makes sense that atheist groups would be the first to, you know, kind of throw their hats in with you. But the only reason I bring it up is to lead into my real question. When it comes to this outreach between the atheist and theistic community that you guys try to foster, have you found that one side or the other is more hesitant?
The theistic community is more hesitant. I think that's just because, like you said, in the secular community, those values, everybody's like, yeah, of course, you know, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But in the religious community, we have to go and vet these groups very, very carefully, and that's if we can even find them. And a good example of something that's similar is the religious charities that Foundation Beyond Belief supports on occasion. Dale and those guys go through a very strong vetting process to make sure that somehow the money that they're giving to them isn't getting kicked to, heritage.org or something like that.
Right, right. All right. So now we're kind of running out of time, but I did want you to touch on this if you could. One of the many irons that you guys have on the fire over there is the Be Secular Conversation series. Kind of intrigued me. Can you tell us what that's all about?
Yep. That is, like you said, Jerry DeWitt and Mark Sandlin are both the main speakers on that. And we had our first event in D.C., and we have another one coming up, possibly in North Carolina, New York, and Jacksonville, Florida. Those are on the schedule. But basically, it's Jerry and Mark by themselves on stage with me as a moderator, and we just tackle all these questions about how the progressive Christian doesn't have to just be a shield for the conservative Christian, how they battle it, how atheists and Christians can work together, how atheists can get their message to progressive Christians without, you know, sounding like an asshole, because sometimes we do. And also explaining to the progressive Christians that just because we don't believe like them doesn't mean, you know, that we're the devil. Because, I mean, that's obviously comes up. Usually, though, the people that come from the Christian side, they don't think that way, or they wouldn't even be there. They'd be too afraid or too nervous to even attend.
Right, right. Awesome. Well, I think it's really great. Like, it's yeoman's work that you guys are doing there. It's definitely something worth checking out. I feel like I got to say it again since I messed it up the first time. It is besecular.com. Definitely a group worth supporting. And I'll tell you what, Mark, when you're in Jacksonville, make sure you let me know. I'll buy you a drink. I'm only an hour out of there.
Oh, all right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, all right. Thanks again. Before we let the dogs out tonight, I wanted to remind everybody that we should have the first 50 Diatribes available as an ebook by this time next week. So be on the lookout for Diatribes Volume 1, 50 Essays from a Godless Misanthrope. That'll be coming soon to an Amazon store near you. We'll obviously have more details on that on next week's episode. And we can't close it out without giving a big thanks to Heath for existing and having the decency to do so on this show. I need to thank Lucinda for opening the show and regularly having sex with me. I need to thank Dr. Professor Atheist for providing this week's Farnsworth quote and for re-recording it for me in a different file type at the last possible second. Thanks for that. Of course, I also want to thank Mark Nebo one more time, along with his incessant interview companions Leo and Vex, for joining us tonight. Also want to encourage you one last time to check them out at besecular.com. You can also follow them on Facebook and on Twitter at besecular. You can also follow Mark at Mark Nebo. You can also follow his wife, Shannon, who is the president of Be Secular and, as I understand it, the more skilled arm wrestler at Secular Sunshine. But, of course, most of all, we need to thank this week's most stellar derivatives of Stardust: Robert, Stephen, Mark, Jason, Gray, Robin, Braxton, Laura, Charles, Robives.com, D, James, and Thomas. Robert and Stephen, whose erections darken the sky. Mark and Jason, who are so brilliant, the exponents of their IQs have exponents. Gray and Robin, who are so awesome, superheroes read comics about them. Braxton and Laura, who are so attractive, interactive, insane clown posse, just can't figure out how they work. Robives.com, which has some really cool videos on it if you ever have an extra few minutes. Charles and Dee, whose brilliance can only be measured because they were smart enough to figure out a way to measure it. And James and Thomas, who are so sexy Vladimir Putin was willing to invade Crimea just to get that much closer to him. These 13 noble humans and websites have banded together to ensure that God would get his requisite amount of shit this week by giving us money. Not everybody has the money that it takes to give us money, but if you have money, we'll be happy to take it. You can give it to us by visiting the homepage at skatingatheist.com and looking for the donate button on the right side of the page. Because remember, if we starve to death, we can't do the show anymore. And if you'd like to help, but you spent all your money on the finer amphetamines in life, you can also help us out by giving us a review on iTunes. Remember, every time we get a 5-star review, an angel gets debunked. You can also keep up with us on the Facebook, the Twitter, the YouTube, and the Google Plus. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at skatingatheist.com. All the music used in this episode was written and performed by yours truly, and yes, I did have my permission.
Listen to Delusions, and I approve this message.